Welcome back to another episode of Thinking That Matters. I'm Elizabeth Mahusai, your podcast host, and I am joined in studio today with Terry Martinez, who I've known for several years now. All right, Terry, tell them a little bit about who you are, what you do, and we're going to launch in.
Well, who I am a proud wife of an amazing man. I am a mom of two sort of grown adults. I have a daughter who's 32 and a son who's 21. That was a fun little joke God played on me when I thought I was not having any more children. And I am a Yaya, which is my grandma name, the seven-year-old. I work full-time. I have my own business part-time, and I help some friends out on the weekend. So busy, busy, busy.
I was going to say, you sound like you have a full life.
Yes, very full. Sometimes over full.
So did you say that your daughter is 32 and your son is 21?
Correct. 10 and a half year gap. I really thought I was not having any more kids and was okay with that. I mean, it was fine. And got pregnant, had a couple of miscarriages along the way. And really just thought it was too far. And so kind of had the conversation with my husband. My daughter is from a previous marriage and just said, you know, hey, these old eggs may just not be viable anymore. We may just have to understand it. He's the sweet one who said, I got my first baby when she was four. I'm good. Whatever happens, happens. And we got pregnant. And at 8 months pregnant, I said, we probably ought to buy some baby stuff because we didn't have any kids.
Because you were way beyond baby.
Way beyond
baby. Not to mention boy versus girl. Yeah, right? So there's that.
Exactly. Exactly. We might need something for him to sleep in. So.
Wow. That is so cool. Now, when you think about, because you've got multiple hands, right? Mm-hmm. Which tells me that you enjoy being with people. Speak specifically to the areas where you are passionate.
Oh, so passion for me is really, I love helping others connect. I love helping others find who they want to be and who they really are and how we can make that grow and develop into whatever it is they're looking for. That's really the base of it.
So take any one thing that you're involved in. Give me an example of this either connection or finding or becoming that you really enjoy.
So one of my favorite stories is actually from a previous somewhat life. I was an HR director in a hospitality program, had been with that company for years and years and years. And it's so funny because you and I were together at a recent conference and I walked out in the hall and the executive chef walks up and says, hi. And I was like, hi. It's such a wild story. And if you are not someone who believes in fate or things happening for a reason, I've got some stories, but this is one of them. So Brandon, Executive Chef Brandon Gaines, and I met 25 years ago, something like that, quite some time ago when he was applying as a dishwasher at a hotel I was opening as the HR director. We talked and I said, well, what do you want to do? What are you going to do with your life? Is this just a job for you? Because it's fine if it is. I've always believed that people can do what they want to do. And if you're happy being where you are, then do that and do the best to it. And he said, well, I kind of like to look into the cook side, maybe move into cook, line cook. And so I said, is that your overall goal? And he said, his overall goal was executive chef. And I said, oh, well, let's lay out the plan and let's see how we get you there. And fast forward, I walk out in the hallway and I see him at this event.
Wow.
As an executive chef in Texas. And we met in Oklahoma.
What?
It was, yeah, it's
that
so
is,
crazy.
That is
so
wild.
Crazy.
What a great example of connection. Mm-hmm. And I was on a virtual meeting yesterday with someone in Connecticut.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Who asks me where I live. And I say, McKinney. She goes, wait, I'm pretty sure my sister-in-law lives in McKinney.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what? and so I'm like, give me her name. So, you know, I go to Facebook. I look her name. One of our two mutual connections is my hairstylist.
Oh my God.
I was like, what do you want to bet that we go to the same gal to get our hair done? I mean,
what are the odds of connection? Exactly. It's so intentional.
Yes, we live. I mean, truly, the world is small when all is said and done. So helping others to connect, find out who they are, and also how they become what they want to become. So the executive chef is such a great example of that.
Yeah, that was the most full circle moment I've had in a very long time. You see these things and you work with people. And I've always considered myself a great connector, whether you're looking to grow your business or grow yourself or grow another person or grow your income. I mean, it's who can I connect you with? Who can I seek out? Or who have I recently met? Go, oh, this person is perfect for that. Let's get you connected. And it just makes me feel so good when I see things like that. And then they come back and they say, oh my gosh, I worked with this person and we did this and it was exactly what I was looking for. I'm like, yay, that's a personal win for me. So
it's true. And I will say, as someone who enjoys making connections as well, that it is a skill set. Mm-hmm. What would you say has helped you develop the skill set of being a connector?
Someone in my current company basically said, you've lived so many lives. I said, I really have. I mean, and you know, I've had this kind of motto for a long time that if it's not fun, I'm done. And so I move on. And I think that helps. And it's not a quitter's mentality. It's a, okay, let's see what the next step is. Let's see what the next excitement, what the next adventure is. And I think that's led me to be so open. I'm a good listener. I like to pay attention when people are talking. And I think the world has gotten so busy and so distracting that it doesn't always work that way. So when somebody's telling me something, I really am listening to see, okay, what can I do to help this person? Where can I lead them? Who can I introduce them to? And I think that's all the way back to psychology degree, HR director, and now community outreach. I mean, that's exactly what I love doing, is going out and meeting new people and finding new things.
I know, I love that. And the book, Who Not How, by Dr. Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan, one of the things that he talks about in there is obviously the focus of the book is finding the who's that actually help you with the how, right? But there is a point in the book where he talks about be a good who for others. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you can be a good who is by connecting, by listening and thinking, how can I help you? You literally just stated, I mean, such an important principle of that, because you're being mindful of how you can make connections, right, which is so incredibly, that's so incredibly important. So your community outreach for Diana Health.
Yes.
All right. So in your role in this community outreach, what would you say has been the most enjoyable and what has been the most, when I say challenging, I mean growing you challenge?
Mm-hmm. So the most enjoyable is I'm out meeting people, seeing people, talking to people. And believe me, sometimes even I have one of those days where I'm like, it's too people-y. It's been too people-y today. I think it happens to the best of us. But for the most part, I enjoy being out there and meeting
people-ing
and greeting.
I love that.
Yeah, too people-y. And as far as a challenge, I think the biggest challenge with it was the fact that I'd never worked in the medical industry. And I was a little concerned because I'm thinking, okay, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV and I'm going to go out and
talk to doctors. And I haven't said a Holiday Inn.
Right, right, exactly. And I'm like, I don't want to lead people wrong. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And at some point, you just have to say, okay, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You know what your company provides. You know what you're promoting, so to speak. You know what you're talking about. And that has been the biggest challenge for me to overcome, is constantly questioning myself in that I may not know what I'm talking about, or somebody's going to find out I don't know what I'm talking about. So overcoming that.
All right. So that right there, that is an example of a limiting belief that I believe there are people listening and or watching that they would go, I do that. Mm-hmm. I question myself all the time, especially when there is this sense of I might not know enough, or what if I don't know the answer to a question they ask me, or fill in the blank. So for you, one of the ways I just picked up on that you address that potential limitation in your belief system, which is a thinking deal, is you say you know what you're doing. What helps you to get to that being able to confidently say, I know what I'm doing?
Well, part of it is just, I don't know what this is, so I'm going to study it up. I mean, I really do.
So you take action to learn.
I take action to learn. I have an incredible support system. Again, I'll go back to that incredible husband of mine. He once told me, I also have a Mary Kay business. And one of my things as I was coming into that business Mary Kay is a very empowering organization and a very beautiful system. But one of my biggest limiting beliefs was that, again, not knowing what I'm doing and who am I to be promoting beauty or skincare. I was the pizza face kid. And I remember having this conversation with my husband one time that this is why I was passionate about it, because I know how it feels. And I wanted to help people through that. But all of those limiting beliefs aside, my husband and I were talking one time and he said, I said, I don't know. Do you think I really can do this? And it was about something in particular. And he said, are you kidding? You're a badass. You walk into a room and people notice. And I was like, really? Me? And he continues to tell me those things. So I have him. I have a very close friend in the Mary Kay world who both tell me repeatedly, my previous Mary Kay director who passed away just a little over a year ago now, would always say, I just can't wait for you to see yourself the way we see you. And I was like, me too. And so it's something I just repeat. I put on repeat when I question myself or something comes up. I say, what did Johnny say? What did Donna say?
That's important, though. That speaks to the need to, because what you said is that you have a strong support system. You pulled that pretty quickly when I asked you the question. And so to me, that really underscores the importance of surrounding ourselves with people that speak life into us and 100%. Over us and for us. And then the second thing that I just heard you say was you've taken things said to you by those important or significant support system people and you repeat them to yourselves.
Absolutely. I have to. I can't forget it, because there's two voices in your head all the time. The one that you really don't want to listen to. And then that other one really is the best one to listen to. And from, in my opinion, God comes these perfect people's voices, like my husband and my previous director and my current director. I mean, those people I feel are speaking to me through him. And I think that's the basis of it. You know, I could listen to that other voice that I really don't want to listen to. And it happens sometimes. I mean, let's be honest, it happens. But then it's very quick, like, oh, wait a minute. That's not true. So listening to those who I know are speaking correctly and, as you put it, life into you and your support system, that's what I focus
on. I love that. In my book, Transform My Thinking God, I wasn't even thinking about that until you just said it. I talk about the steps to having transformation in your thinking. The first of which is you have to identify, okay, I got these two voices going on. And maybe sometimes we feel like we're only hearing the negative or the yucky side, right, of that voice. But then the second step is to assess, is that good or not good? Mm-hmm. Is that true or not true?
Right.
And I love it that in some ways you are filtering thoughts through these positives that you heard, you have heard and continue to hear from your husband, your previous director, the people that are important in your life, because it is so important that we filter the things that we're thinking to determine what is good and helpful and healthy and what is hurtful and not healthy for our thinking. I love that, because that just brings a different dimension to how we can filter the things that we are thinking. So you said you have a Mary Kay business. What had you say, I want to have my own business?
So nothing ever said that to me until after. I was in the hospitality business. I had decided it was time to move on from that 15 years ago. And for the first time in my life, I did not have a plan. I always had a plan. I was always, you do this, you do this, you take this step, you move on and you grow and you do this and you take the next position and grind, grind, grind. And I was kind of burnt out and I kind of didn't. The company was changing, my role was changing, and it wasn't in a good way. And I just kind of, you know what, it's been a good ride. And things are changing, and it's time for me to move on. And I just remember I actually had gone to a conference for my HR job. HR in hospitality was the theme of it. And in the flight, well, in the airport, I met a Mary Kay person. Now I had started purchasing Mary Kay from a neighbor to be nice kind of thing. And this person sat down and we started talking, and she was talking to me about some different things. And I thought, whatever. Are you kidding? No. Whatever. And so I'm not trying to be snotty or anything, but I was like, no, I'm not. I would never be able to do that. And I went to this conference about my job, and everything in that conference was, there was a panel, and they were talking about, if you're not happy about with what you're doing, why are you still doing it? And then another speaker had, if you have something else in mind, you should be chasing that dream. And I'm like, what's happening
what
right
is
now?
Going on?
This is supposed to be my job. And so I remember I got back in the car when my husband picked me up at the airport, and he's like, how was your conference? I was like, great. I think I want to quit my job. And he was like, okay. And I just remember he just had hands on the wheel, and he's just looking ahead, and he's like, any ideas what you might know? Because I said it about every other year anyway. And he was like, is this for real this time? I said, I think it is. And he goes, what do you think you're going to do? I was like, I don't know, maybe a Mary Kay business. And he went, okay. And that's another thing I love about him. He just lets me do my thing. I started the business a few months later before I left my other job and thought, well, I'm just going to start this business and everything will happen, because that's kind of the way everything always happened for me. I started something, things fell into place, okay, and then they just happened. Didn't quite work out that way for me. I actually had, and you'll love this story, I had a friend of mine, a very close friend, who was in the hospitality business as well. We'd worked together for years. And I said, I'm leaving the company. He's like, I can't believe that. You've been with this company for forever. And I said, yeah, well, you know, everything's got a time and a place, and it's time for me to move on. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I think I'm going to start a Mary Kay business. And he goes, you mean lipstick? And I said, well, they have things other than lipstick. I mean, skincare. Of course, I didn't really know that much about it at the time. I said, they have other things. And he goes, well, you can't do that. And I said, oh, well, why can't I do that? And he said, well, you're not a girl. And I went, I beg to differ. And he said, you know what I mean. So in the hospitality industry, it was a very male-driven industry, especially 15 years ago. And I was very well known for not being afraid to front up with the big boys. I was an HR director of a huge establishment.
Yes.
And I had to be able to stand up to people like executive chefs, I think they're God, and, you know, other very strong personality types. And for the right reasons. And I said, I love you. You're a very good friend. But if for no other reason, that's the reason I need to do this. Because I need to tap into what is really me.
Yeah.
And if that's the way I'm perceived, I need to take a step back. And so I really kind of, I tell that story with gratitude, because it was, I mean, let's be honest.
Eye-opening.
It was. It was very eye-opening. I thought, have I really gotten that hard? Like, have I really turned into this? And so I left with not really a plan. Did a couple of other things along the way. Still have my Mary Kay business today. Still love it. It's an amazing support system for me and for others. And I enjoy it immensely. So,
wow. Curious, because I'm thinking about my sister-in-law, who the similarity to the story is she has a law degree. She was a business litigator. So as you can imagine, very male dominated, very, you cannot show emotion. Mm-hmm. You have to be a certain persona.
Yep.
And she joined me in the direct sales company that I was in, which was obviously very more fashion industry and obviously female heavy, like that was predominantly everybody. And it took time for her to come out of that persona into, I'm not going to say a different persona, because she was still the same person.
Yeah.
But to show up, maybe to show up differently, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
What was that like for you?
It was interesting. One of Mary Kay's biggest things is we still wear skirts on appointments. We still have, I didn't own any. I only had pantsuits because
that's what you did.
I mean, I just didn't.
Oh, my word.
And so I very quickly had to go buy some skirts so that I could
honor
do
the,
what
honor the
to
request.
Do.
Yes. Yep.
And then it became, and it really made me question, like, what's that about? And then I started really researching, and I thought, this is awesome. This is, I love that it shows powerful women in this particular vein. And so for me, I think it showed me that I could still be the same powerful woman that I've always been, but have a feminine side. I've always been one of the guys. My three best friends in high school were guys. I've always been that, not necessarily, well, I was a tomboy when I was a little kid, but I grew out of that quickly, but I've always been okay with that. And so this gave me the opportunity to kind of say, you know what? I'm not so bad as a girl. And if my best friend at the time says, you can't do that, you're not a girl, I was like, but
something's not right here. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it, for me, it was a very interesting experience, and it continues. I mean,
I keep thinking about what your friend said to you, right? You can't do that. You're not a girl. And it sounds like you knew that that was coming from a place of care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From him, right? Not a, I don't believe in
it
you.
It wasn't a dig. It wasn't anything. And he even said, that's a compliment. You know, I mean that as a compliment. And I was like, wow. I guess you do.
So what it says to me, though, is that there is a place for an openness to hear other people's perspective.
100%.
Even when it's tough to hear that perspective.
Absolutely. That's a perfect example of that, because it was true. Nothing he said was incorrect, and he didn't mean it in a bad way. He was, as he said, I consider it a compliment. But for me, it was truly eye-opening. Let's be honest. My husband knows I'm a girl. I mean,
right, exactly.
I'm a girl. I've had babies. Right. I mean, you know, but it's, but I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
And I thought, I need to show people with this that I am still the same powerful woman that I've always been. But I can wear skirts while I'm doing it.
So what's interesting is, to me, that speaks to when you said you're passionate about helping others find out who they are, as well as how they can become who they are.
Yes.
And so you had your own example of tapping into who you are as a woman.
Right.
And Mary Kay helps you to do that. Now, of course, I spent 19 years in the direct sales space. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge supporter of direct sales. I happen to use Mary Kay as well. So I love that product. In 15 years of being in that space, I want you to maybe give one or two limiting beliefs that cropped up as a result of having your business and how you overcame them.
Oh, well, the first one that popped into my head immediately was, who are you, little acne-faced girl, to tell other people how to take care of their skin and look beautiful? And I very quickly had to say, well, let me tell you who I am. I'm not that same girl anymore. I started Mary Kay because I was still having acne issues in my 40s. And it was kind of a, okay, let
so
me try
annoying.
This too. Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
And immediately I realized the product itself was amazing. So that was the first thing that just flipped that switch for me. But going back to who am I, it's like, I am the same as everybody else. I mean, we all have doubts about ourselves once in a while. We all have questions once in a while. And if you can either let them take you down, or you can kind of hit them head on, face them, and overcome as much as you possibly can. Do I still have those questions? 100%. Do I walk into a room of gorgeous women with maybe an Elizabeth Mahusai in the room and think, oh, she's so amazing, I'm never going to measure up? You know, it happens every day. And I think it's a part of our society that kind of builds that up to some degree. There is no perfection.
And so how do you overcome it, though?
Because
you walk into a room, and because the thoughts are going to come for all of us, what do you do to keep it in check?
It goes back to, and honestly, I hear his voice in my head a lot of times. It probably should be God's voice that I'm hearing, but I think it's my husband's. Maybe it's God. I mean, I don't know, but I've never heard God speak like that. But you're a badass. You deserve to be in this room. I mean, I do hear that. And I mean, sometimes I just wonder, you know, maybe it is God, you know, might be talking to me like that, because he knows that's the way I need to hear it. So again, just, I have certain things in my toolbox, I guess you could say, that I just remind myself.
Yes.
I try so hard not to forget them. It doesn't always work. There are times when I just sit there and think. But then I walk out and I realize, again, I do know what I'm doing. And I just have to keep saying.
So that seems to be a recurring, as I've listened to you, that's where we started when we talked about being in the medical field and that, what if I don't know the answer? Mm-hmm. And you said, thinking you know what you're doing. So reminding yourself.
100%.
Reminding yourself of that. And really keeping that at the forefront for you. So
positive affirmations. I mean, I can't talk about them enough. Positive affirmations. You have to have them. You have to.
Give me one of your favorites.
I know what I'm doing. We've talked a little bit about that.
Do you hear that? Do you know what you're doing? I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. All right, give me another one.
You deserve to be here.
Okay, you deserve to be here.
You deserve to be here in this space, in this environment, in this situation, in this, you know, whatever it is that that comes up with, you know, you are in the right place. You are right where you're supposed to be. Mm. You're right where, I know you and I have talked about faith-filled lives in the past, and I hear it clearly. You are right where you're supposed to be. Now, sometimes I hear, you are right where you're supposed to be, and I go, I know, I need to do something. You know, you're right where you're supposed to be. And my, again, my previous director, who I adored, still adore, she would always say, God is going to keep putting you in the same situation until you learn what you're supposed to learn.
I know. I think it was Beth Moore that said he doesn't accept C work.
Yes, true.
You'll could be having to retest.
Yes.
Just retest until you get the better score, because you learn.
Yeah.
You learn from it. And so often it's learning dependence on God. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes I personally like Oswald Chambers' take on it, that sometimes it's not about what you learn, but it's about what you need to unlearn.
Correct.
And
yes. So, and it's so funny when you say that, because one of my biggest challenges in life, I guess, was, and it's so funny because when I say this, I always argue with myself about it, but I was in a domestic violence situation when I was younger, my daughter and I both, and we were only together for a couple of years. And the damage that a person can do to another person in such a short amount of time. I've been with my husband for 28 years. We've been married for 24. And he tells me almost daily that I'm beautiful and worthy. And I'm, you know, whatever it is he feels like saying that lifts
That's
me
That's positive
up.
And uplifting.
Yes. But it's still those 2 years. Like, why does that still creep in there? It's one of those weird situations. And that's probably the voice I have to tamp down the most, because it's like, no, that's not true.
You know, as you were explaining that, see if this resonates. This is the picture that came into my mind because of the, you talk about the damage that can be done. So in a domestic violence situation, because there's so much emotional connectedness to the experience, the neural pathways are so strengthened, because they say in brain research, emotions are like the glue that like holds neurons that fire together, wire together. Mm-hmm. And emotional connectedness to those neural firings makes them even stronger. And so even 28 years later, mm-hmm. I think of it as that pathway of thinking is like, have you ever been on back roads and you pass what you know used to be a roadway, right? But it's maybe now boarded off, or they have a fence up. It's overgrown. But every time you pass it, you can look over and know that it was there, mm-hmm. right? It's, as I was listening to you, I was like, that's what it reminds me of. It's, you can still see the roadway. You've built a better road. You've built a better 100%. Neural pathway. You have a husband that's helped you to do it, but you still often, maybe not even often, but you still pass it on occasion.
Yeah, it comes up every now and then.
The road that is overgrown and no longer used,
right?
But that memory can really be present.
Yes.
And it's, you're right, it is learning how to manage that. I'm appreciating that. So what role for you, like what role has faith played? Because especially being in a domestic violence situation, mm-hmm. it certainly sounds like, given that you've been together 28 years, married 24 of them, mm-hmm. that the Lord has brought restoration Absolutely. And a sense of redemption from Absolutely. A relational aspect. So how has faith played a role in who you are today?
It's so funny. It just gave me chills, because when you said that, it brought back that one time. So during that time in my life, it was a dark time, obviously. And there wasn't a lot of God in that time of our lives. Every time I would try to bring it into our lives, it was quickly squashed. Just by the person that I was with, who just had never, you know, gotten into it, I guess you could say. And so I just remember, they always say, you know, you hit that rock bottom. And at the rock bottom point, and I remember it like it was yesterday, I was driving, it was in Colorado, driving down the road, the mountains to the west. The mountains are always to the west. In my happy place, being that it's, you know, in the mountains. But I remember driving and just out of the blue, breaking down and being like, I know I haven't asked you for anything in a long time, God, but I just need you to get me out of this. Show me a way out.
Mm.
And I had not prayed for years. I had not been religious, so to speak. I had not gone to church. I mean, it was just, and just out of nowhere, that came. And within, I would say, probably a month, we were gone. We were done. We got out. And it was a very dangerous situation, so it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think flashing forward, the person that he brought into my life, when I listened to him, he provided for me what I needed, which is my husband. He's very faith-filled himself. And so we brought that back to each other. He had not been actively seeking his religion and practicing his faith, but he was a very faithful person. And both of us are of the same mindset. We're both very faith-filled people. And so I think when that finally happened and I listened to what, you know, God was kind of laying out for me, like, you stay in this, you're not staying in it for the right reasons. I was staying in it because I didn't want to be divorced with a small child. And then it quickly came to me, I think it was like about a day or two later after that little prayer in the car, if you stay in this, this is what she's going to think she should have when she grows up.
Ooh.
And I went, oh, I can't do that. No. She cannot get into this. And so finding my husband, it took a while. I was quite burned in life at that point. But it's kind of one of those funny little stories. He and I knew each other for quite some time before. And then we dated for 4 years because I was adamant I was
you
not
were,
getting married again.
I was making sure.
Nope, not doing it again. But I kept hearing that this is the right person. It's safe.
It's interesting because of the way you said it. This is why I love doing these interviews. Mm-hmm. On that road with the mountains in the west, mm-hmm. and you brought yourself to ask God, mm-hmm. like, get mm-hmm. me out. Mm-hmm. And what occurred to me when you said that, because you said within a month, mm-hmm. I said, opened your mind to see different options or pathways. Yeah. I believe that as long as we, oftentimes, we're so busy trying to figure things out ourselves that we are in our own way. When we choose to ask God to help us, in a sense, He moves us out of the way and our minds are open to Him making a way.
Yes, yes.
Man, that is
good.
That is so good.
She's good.
that's one of those where I'm going to tell you, you should hit the 30-second back button a couple of times and listen to this portion of the conversation again, because I hadn't really thought about it that way. And then the other piece, and we don't have time to dive into it. Maybe we come back and we have a whole episode on just this, which is, I think that sometimes we can get into this mindset of, you said it, I'll stay because I don't want the label. Mm-hmm. You didn't use the word label, but
yeah,
being a divorced woman with a small child. And for those of us in the Christian community, I think this is an important conversation to have, because it is that sense, the stigma mm-hmm. that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just appreciating that you said it and that you have been able to experience God's redemption on the other side of it in the relationship that you have with your husband. Man, that's tremendous. So I ask every guest,
yes,
because every person brings their own perspective to the importance of thinking. And that's my passion. So I ask every guest, why do you believe it's important to cultivate thinking that matters? What say you, Terry Martinez?
I think it's important because you have to cultivate the right mindset. You have to bring in the positive thoughts so that the other ones don't take over. Because if you're not working on it yourself, you're giving power to whoever that other voice is. At some point, if you don't bring that positive thought into yourself over and over and over, it's just going to take over. The negative one's going to take over. And I think we're in a constant fight. And I think the thinking is what helps us get out of that. You're going to fight. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for yourself. And I think thinking along those terms and making sure that you're cultivating the right mindset is where that thinking
is. I love how Joyce Myers calls it the battlefield of the mind.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
Well, what's so interesting about how you just said that was, you said, we got to bring in the positive thoughts. That's the cultivating thinking that matters. We would say that positive thought process would be thinking that matters so that the other doesn't take over.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the intentionality of plucking the negative weeds, right? Wet thoughts, weed thoughts out so that the positive thoughts can flourish.
So the flowers can come in.
I love it. I love it. Oh, that's so good. Thank you so much, Terry.
Absolutely.
Tell people how they can learn more about whether it's they want to contact you about Mary Kay, because there are people out there that do not have a Mary Kay person.
I'm sure there are.
But
there
they would love to be connected to one. So
amazingly, there are a few of them if you're out there. So you can find me with my Mary Kay business at marykay.com/Terry, T-E-R-R-I dot Martinez, M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z. If you are looking for healthcare that is just totally different for women, I work for a women's healthcare practice, and I'm very proud to say Diana Health, the only one in the state of Texas right now. You can find them online at Hey, H-E-Y, Diana Health, heydianahealth.com/Allen. Good grief. Like it went out all over the place.
It's all
heydianahealth.com/Allen.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Listen,
for those of you who have made it all the way to this point, I want to encourage you, subscribe to the podcast, share this episode. You know someone who will resonate with Terry's story, her journey. And be sure to give us a review as well, because that helps other people to know more about the podcast. And with that, I will look forward to seeing you back here on our next episode. Hey, thanks for joining me today on Thinking That Matters. This episode brought to you by Go With Elizabeth, helping you align your thoughts with your God-given purpose. If this episode encouraged you, I want you to follow the show, leave a review, and share it with someone who just needs some hope and encouragement today. And listen, don't forget to pick up my book, Pick Your Path. It is available on Amazon, and it's an international bestseller. It is practical, and it will help you set your mental autopilot on the right course. Hey, until next time, stay rooted, stay faithful, and keep cultivating thinking that matters.